Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, All Things New. But first, here's the message, The War to End All Wars.
Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. We're in a series of messages in the book of Revelation, and today we come to chapter 12, and the title of my message is The War to End All Wars. And the war that we're talking about today is really a behind-the-scenes, invisible, unseen war. The unseen world and the unseen war is everywhere. It's personal in that you are involved. You are engaged. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God has not called us to a playground, but to a battleground. And we are to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, advancing the kingdom of God. But you will be engaged, and you must not be a victim, but rather live in the victory that is yours in Jesus Christ. This spiritual battle, this world war of the worlds, if you will, there are supernatural forces at work. It is a cosmic conflict between God and Satan, angels and demons, heaven and hell. And the consequences are the souls of men. And of course, there are many casualties. In the future, there will be a war, a battle to end all wars and battles. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. And at that battle, Jesus will come in great glory at the revelation, at the revealing, the return of Christ. And with the word of his mouth, we're going to study about this in the book of Revelation. When he speaks, all wars are ended, and Satan and his powers are destroyed and cast in to the pit and ultimately into hell. It's all about the war. War is all around us. We're waiting for that day that is promised in the Bible when there will be no more wars, and no more suffering, and no more pain, and no more crime, when evil is eradicated and Satan no longer is unleashed upon the earth. This unseen war, it goes on and on and on. And chapter 12 of Revelation is really a behind the scenes, a rare behind the scenes look at what's going on beyond us. The war and the major players in this war that are engaged in this great battle for the future of God's purposes and plans on earth. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to introduce you to three major generals, if you will, or characters that are in this war room. And the first one I'm going to call the wondrous woman. Not Wonder Woman, though she is a wonder, but the wondrous woman. Look at verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven. Now, you want to note immediately that word sign. When you read the book of Revelation or any scripture, you should take it literally. In other words, here's a little lesson in studying the Bible. When the Bible speaks concerning literal things and physical things, as it does for, you know, through and through, the Bible is literally true. All of its facts, all of its figures, all of its history is accurate and inerrant. And when it speaks, it is literal, but there are times when God identifies signs or symbols that represent something else. And the way you know the difference is to take Scripture always at its face value when it speaks regarding physical, material, physical, literal things, and then when it speaks of spiritual things, the sign or the markings are there of a symbol. And so we have a great sign. The word here is mega. It's a mega sign. John is going to use that word mega several times in this passage, which means great, very great. A very great mega sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pangs and the agony of giving birth. Who is this wondrous woman? Some have suggested, well, it's Mary, the mother of Jesus. But clearly, this is not Mary, the mother of Jesus, as we will see in just a moment. Some have suggested this is representative of the church, but the church, who is described as the wife, the bride of Christ, is not the mother of Christ. In fact, Jesus gave birth to the church. The church did not give birth to Jesus. And so, in my mind, it is absolutely clear. There's really only one obvious choice to identify this woman. This woman is Israel. Israel, who gives birth to the child who is the Messiah of Israel. The picture here pictures the dream that God gave Joseph in Genesis 39, or 37 rather, verse 9. And when you see this allusion, this reference to the sun, the moon, the stars, that's a clear reference to the family of faith, Israel, in the Bible. The nation which was born, which has been promised by God, protected by God, preserved by our Lord throughout generations. This nation gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your place there in Revelation chapter 12 and just slip over to the ninth chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 9. And it tells us about this great nation of Israel who gave birth to the Messiah. Chapter 9 of Romans, verses 4 and 5. Speaks of these Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, the race of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. Israel, this woman, gave birth to Jesus, the Messiah, who is God. And every Bible-believing Christian should love Israel and the people of Israel. After all, as noted here, the Israeli race gave us Abraham and the patriarchs, those who gave us the great stories of the Bible, Moses, the law, the prophets. The preparation for the coming of the Messiah into the world. It's the Jewish people who gave us the Bible. The Jewish people who gave us God's Son in the flesh, Jesus, born into the Jewish people's lives and into the nation. The apostles and followers of Jesus were Jewish men and women who began to follow Jesus, who advanced the kingdom of God beyond the Jewish nation to the world as Jesus commanded them. But these were all Jew, many of them simple Jewish people. But they knew Jesus, and God gave us our faith. And those of us who have now been grafted in, as the scripture says, Gentiles, non-Jewish people, we are so blessed by the nation of Israel. Because God has called, God has chosen, God has blessed, God has protected His beloved people. Sometimes people ask, is God finished with the Jew? Is God through with the Jew? Is God's plan for Israel over? No, it's not over until God says it's over. God still has a plan for His people, Israel. God still loves His people and has not cast them aside. He has restored them already to their land, 1948, the Jews, after millenniums of being scattered to the ends of the earth. It's an amazing miracle. Israel began in a miracle, Abraham and Sarah, and has continued through the miraculous protection of God, who has taken care of His people, even through great suffering and horrors and Holocaust and all of the rest. But God has restored his people even as he promised. In Amos, the prophet Amos said that God would one day restore Israel to her land, and he's done that. And Israel is back in the land to stay. And America has supported Israel as a nation since they began as a nation. And God blesses those who bless Israel and curses those who curse Israel. Not to say that we support every political decision of Israel, but it is to say that biblically, as believers and followers of Christ, we are given the charge to love and pray for God's people, Israel.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and the message, the war to end all wars. For 2,000 years, the followers of Jesus have looked with hope toward his return. And the truth is, there's no additional sign, event, nor circumstance that has to happen before Jesus comes back. In his end times book, All Things New, Dr. Jack Graham dives into the book of Revelation to give you more confidence and hope as you await the triumphant return of Christ. All Things New is our thanks for your gift today. So call now to request your copy of All Things New when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word NEW to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And also be sure to sign up for Dr. Graham's podcast, Bible in a Year. Now let's get back to today's message, the war to end all wars.
One day God will not only restore his people as he has done and is doing, but he will redeem them. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 26. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. Now, we've already seen in our studies in Revelation 144,000 Jewish evangelists who shared the gospel with people during the tribulation. The two great witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and their witness in the great tribulation period. And though there's great pain and great persecution and great suffering and great evil during the tribulation, God has a purpose and a plan for his people Israel, and he's still fulfilling it. And one day he will save Israel. Why? Verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God is faithful to his covenant. God is faithful to his people, Israel. If God were to abandon his people, Israel, and break his promise to the Jews, how do you know that God would not break his promises to you as a Christian? No, God keeps his promises. And he is keeping Israel unto himself. And if you want to know what God is doing in the world today, look at Israel. Now, this woman in Revelation 12 is described as being pregnant and suffering and is in pain. It's hard to imagine the suffering of one single group of people as compared to what has happened in Israel and the people, the Jewish people, through the centuries. Israel has agonized and suffered throughout the centuries, throughout the millenniums. Though protected and preserved by God, sometimes disciplined by the hand of God in judgment, at other times at the hands of cruel occupiers such as the Romans in the time of Christ. Throughout these years and years and years, these Jewish people have been the target of great persecution. Satan himself has sought to destroy her many times. Again, enduring persecutions, holocausts, genocide, wars, attacks, anti-Semitism. And yet, this Wonder Woman is indestructible. Today, the attacks upon Israel are very real. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in particular in Western Europe. Jewish people worldwide are deeply concerned, and should be, regarding the rise of hatred of the Jewish people in Europe once again. We've seen that before in Nazi Germany. But anti-Semitism is rising in Europe. The threats of nuclear attacks from Iran and others are very real, and they are increasing. But God's miracle nation will not be destroyed because God will not allow her to be destroyed. His plan is to return to his people, redeem his people. Israel is at dead center of the future of the world. Prophecy is history pre-written. One of those prophecies regarding Israel shows up at the end of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 3, when we are told that Israel will become a burden to all the nations. There it is, on that day, in the last days. I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will surely hurt themselves, and all the nations of the earth will gather against it. That will happen. In fact, it's beginning to happen in our own generation as more and more resistance and opposition comes against God's people in Israel. The road to Armageddon runs through Israel and Jerusalem in particular. We see the next major player in this war of the worlds, this war to end all wars. And verse 3, back in Revelation chapter 12. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a mega great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems, and his tail, verse 4, swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. And she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1260 days. What on earth? A wondrous woman, and now a red reptile, a murderous, thunderous dragon with horns and crowns. What does it mean? Obviously a symbol. We don't have to wonder who this is, because we're told later in the scripture that this dragon is the ancient serpent, verse 9, called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. Obviously, he's not literally a red dragon. Satan is a deceiver, a liar. We're told this in verse 9, that he is the deceiver of the whole world. He's a liar and a murderer. Jesus said this in John chapter 8 and verse 44. In describing Satan, he said, he is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. See, here we see him as liar and murderer and ruler with horns and power, authority to rule the nations, and an accuser of the brethren or of the brothers. Deceiver, seducer, tempter, accuser, liar, all of this and so much more. He rules as the God of this age, and he commands the principalities and the power of angel spirits. When we're told here that when he fell, we read it earlier, 1/3 of the stars of the heavenly host. That's not literal stars. That's the heavenly host. Here's what happened. Sometimes we wonder, why did God make the devil? Well, God didn't create the devil. He did create a heavenly being. And you can read about this in Isaiah 14, also in Ezekiel chapter 28. He created a heavenly being. His name was Lucifer. Lucifer was a glorious angel. He apparently was near to the throne of God, akin to Michael, the great archangel of God who has remained faithful. But Lucifer was the son of the morning, beautiful and glorious creation of God. And in Isaiah 14, we're told that he said, this Lucifer, this created being of God, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. I will be as God. And before there was rebellion on earth, there was revolt in heaven. And Satan was cast out of heaven. Lucifer, the son of the morning, became the devil, the father of the night. And that's this mysterious war, therefore, that's going on behind the scenes all around us. The devil is real. And the devil is not down in hell. The devil is like a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour on the earth. And so when he slithered in, the snake, the reptile, the red reptile slithered into the Garden of Eden, the war that was in heaven is now on earth, and man sinned and the rebellion began in the hearts of mankind, and thus all the murders and mayhem and betrayals and wars and crimes and disease and all the rest of that, a part of this eternal supernatural battle. The good news is, well, there's just so much in this passage, but I have to take you quickly to verse 11 regarding this red reptile, because the war is out there and the war is yet to come. In the tribulation, Satan is going to be unleashed even more. Remember, the church is gone. The Holy Spirit is absent as we have known him, and therefore it appears that Satan is winning. He's having his heyday, his hell on earth during the tribulation. That's all going to happen. Israel will be persecuted more. Israel, the woman, will be driven out into the wilderness, yet protected by God during the second half of the tribulation. But for here and now, those of us who are in this battle, how are we to engage the enemy? How are we to win this war on a personal level? Remember, I said this war is prophetic, but it's also personal. It involves you and me. You're either a victor or you're a victim. But verse 11 of Revelation 12 is one of the great verses that you should claim when you face tests or lies or deceptions, difficulties or dangers in your life. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives, even unto death. There's your battle strategy, Christian. We are the champions, the overcomers. And the way we win in life against the onslaughts, the accusations, and the attacks of the enemy, he is the accuser and the attacker. He attacks you, he accuses you. And so the way you respond is not with physical weaponry, but with spiritual weapons. And here are your weapons: the blood of the Lamb, the cross. Go to the cross, because at the cross, Satan is defeated. There is power in the blood of Jesus, saving power, sustaining power, securing power, sanctifying power, the power of the blood to purify us in the presence of great spiritual attacks. We run to the cross because there at the cross we find our strength and our help in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we face off against the enemy knowing when he accuses us that we just simply say, I have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am no longer yours, Satan. I am covered, I am cleansed by the blood of Christ.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and the message, the war to end all wars. Many Christians avoid reading the book of Revelation because it's intimidating, confusing, or scary. But while the book does contain many complex concepts, it is ultimately a book of hope with a very simple premise. Jesus is coming again. And that's wonderful news for every Christian. We want to help you understand the hope that lies at the heart of the book of Revelation with Dr. Graham's End Times book, All Things New. This book is our special thanks for your gift today to help boldly proclaim God's word through PowerPoint. So request your copy when you call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word NEW to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And also be sure to sign up for Dr. Graham's podcast, Bible in a Year. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
We begin by confessing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and standing in Him. Our victory is in Christ. It's been said many times and in many ways. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It means when we face temptation, when we're fighting against the throes of temptation in our lives, that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And the closer you get to the Savior, the farther away you'll want to get from sin. If you're fighting spiritual battles, you have authority in the name of Jesus. So pray in His name, speak in His name, and Satan and his demons will flee. Keep your eyes on Jesus and the prize that is set before us. Don't allow the distractions and the diversions of this world to take your eyes off the unseen world and the spiritual realities all around us. Don't be afraid to face persecution or aggression or opposition or resistance, but be confident in your faith. Don't be afraid or ashamed to tell people about Jesus. And I would encourage you to get into the army. Get into the battle with other Christians. And when you go to church, you're not an audience, you're an army sharing Jesus with your church. So get with God's people, grow in your faith, meet together, be encouraged with God's people, and then go like a mighty army in Jesus' name.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, All Things New, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word NEW to 59789. And join us next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about the identity and purpose of the Antichrist. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.